This is Phil Ferrand, and I am not driving home today because today is 10 years worth of podcast. 10 years worth of podcast. 520. And my beloved son-in-law, if I remembered correctly, said that when I die, he'll listen to all the podcasts.
Yes.
Yes, so at this rate, if I croak off when I'm 90, we'll be plus 2,000.
Yeah. Woo. Oh, man, yeah. I'm in.
Woo. So, as we have traditionally done for the last couple of years, we have gathered the family. And so, Clara is here today. Say hello, Clara.
Hello.
Hello. And my beloved wife is here.
Hello.
And Amber is here with us.
Hello.
Jones. And my beloved son-in-law, my beloved Amber is here with us. And my beloved son-in-law is here.
Hello.
And the beloved Asher is here.
Hello.
Hello. And the beloved Elizabeth is here.
Hello.
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 So we are all here, and we're just going to spend a little time talking about the year, kind of reflecting on the year, figure out where we are. This is just a way, really, to kind of put a stake down on the ground. And say, this was what was going on now. And maybe, you know, 5 years in the future, 10 years in the future, 100 years in the future, somebody's listening. You just never know. 50,000 years in the future. The question is what we're doing right now, is it going to make any difference? That's the question. So that's kind of the plan. So what was the most important thing that happened to you this year that you can think of?
I don't know.
Turn date.
8 years old. Yeah. Soon she'll be nine. Yeah.
And did we start Wings this year? Was that?
No. 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 That was first grade.
Okay, that was first grade.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Been taking piano.
Oh.
Yeah. Making progress there.
Yep.
Doing well.
Yep.
Yes, ma'am. Yep.
And had a role in the Sunday night at Connection Kids Choir.
Praise Kids Choir.
Praise Kids Choir.
Yeah. We were Jesse this time, right? This last time? Was that the last one, Grammy?
The last one was Kingdom Connection about the Bible.
Oh. Mm.
She was
Rosie,
yeah. That played Goliath.
Grrr. That's right. That was cute. Yeah, that was very, very cute.
But coming up in May, she's in our Star Quest performance. She's going to play Zelda. No, not
Zelda.
Zeta, the droid bot.
Oh.
She's going to play Zeta, the droid bot.
Well, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, beloved, what's the most memorable thing? See if she says the same thing I do. See. You gotta make some points.
Las Vegas. She thought my heart was trying to kill me, and I have been in the last 2 years undergone a bunch of different tests, running, wearing monitors, da 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 da. Turns out it's my gallbladder all the time.
Yep.
So I ended up laying on the floor of a casino in Las Vegas, waiting for the ambulance to come and transport me to the hospital.
Yeah, that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, and turns out, got back home, found out I was really dehydrated for one thing, but because I'd been drinking coffee and it was hot there, I hadn't been drinking enough water, I was really dehydrated, but...
Because of the parking space.
Oh, yes, well, yeah, we can tell that story.
But anyway, I came home, and then before the end of the year, I had gallbladder surgery, so...
Yeah, so, ta-da.
That was my big news, ta-da.
Big news for the year. So, Amber, how's your year been? It's been a wild year for you.
The whole year, or just since the beginning of the year?
Oh, just, no,
since
you know.
Since last time we did this,
since last
right?
Since last time we did this.
Thereabouts.
Oh,
Have you had any organs removed?
No.
I remember the last time we did this.
Yeah, we were in the car last time we did this.
Oh, I didn't think back that far. All I was thinking about is I signed up for a free trial on Audible, and I don't understand it. It won't let me listen to anything. It's like, you can't purchase anything here, so you have to add it to a wish list that I can't find.
So, Did they actually tell you you could listen to some, or did they just tell you you can sign up for one free?
Yeah, that's why I signed up for it, because I wanted to listen to Inheritance by Danny Shapiro. And so I did, and now I get some free Audible originals, which are fine, but what's the point of keeping it beyond the free trial, then?
Maybe they changed that.
It used to be one free anything.
Yeah, because when I signed up for my free Audible trial, I got... Everybody Always. That's what I listened to that on there, but maybe they've changed the rules.
I got one of the books.
Well,
that we
I was
did
listening
as a staff.
To something about Madame Curie, like it's some fake fictional thing about how she fell in love with her husband, and it's okay. but it's not like what I wanted to listen to. I don't understand.
Well, so now you can give them some money if you really want to.
March 31st, I'm ending that. I'm not paying for that.
Have you checked on like the library checkout ones to see?
Yeah, I do Hoopla, but I couldn't find the Inheritance book. And I really, I do, it's a book club on podcasts from this podcast I listened to, and they started it with Danny Shapiro. And it's about IVF. Babies.
In vitro.
And about how, because there are so many ways to test your genealogy, that the people who have that's been kept secret from are finding out. And so it's no longer going to be able to be kept a secret and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it was a big blow to her. Like, she, it was like life shattered. Like, her foundation changed because it revealed to her something that she didn't know about her genealogy. And it was really interesting.
I saw like a little blurb on that.
Yeah.
But I didn't know quite what it was all about. So,
the next one I want to listen to, I don't know the name of it, but it's about, it's an author who's an identical twin. And I think it shows tips or something for parents, because her parents realized that when she was an adult, and they asked her to go somewhere with them for like the weekend. And she was like, I don't think I feel comfortable going just with you guys, because she'd never been without her twin. And they were like, and it, like, for them, they were like, we've never taken you guys anywhere separate. Like, it was just like, they didn't realize it. And I think that happens a lot with twins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least for me, because I mean, my sister and I were always lumped as one person.
Right. Well, there was a Netflix thing on triplets. On triplets that had been intentionally separated at birth, placed with three disparate families because they were doing genetic studies to try to figure...
Oh, the guys? Was that
just
came out?
Yeah, the three guys.
I want to see that. What's that called?
I don't know, but it was really interesting. It was really...
Did they have a lot of similarities even though they didn't? Yeah, that's what...
They did.
I think happens a lot.
Yeah. And it was like this illegal experiment, because you're not supposed to do...
With children. You're not
supposed to... With children. And they just... This adoption agency just went, well, let's try this. And they just separated them and didn't tell anyone about the others.
Oh, so they didn't tell the parents that this is one of...
They may have told the parents, but they didn't tell the kids.
Okay.
So then one of the kids just ran into another one of the kids at college, and they were looking at each other like, what is going... And then they found the third one. Yeah, so anyways.
Interesting.
Yeah, so there you go. It's worth watching. Worth watching.
Yeah, I want to see it.
So, my favorite son-in-law, how's your year been?
Oh, it's been good. I don't know, grand things that were accomplished this year,
or experienced.
Well, I can tell you that the conference that you put on at the church was spectacular. That Be Called, Be Confident, that was a great...
Yeah.
Yeah. All of you did an excellent job. The church put on its first... conference about how to share your faith called Be Confident, and they did most of the talking and the seminars and brought in one outside speaker, but it was excellent. Everything was presented really well. It was well done.
That was one thing. Corduroy died.
Yes.
And Khaki is now an inside dog.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a big development.
Khaki's here with us.
Khaki is here with us. I don't think Khaki will be contributing much.
No.
No.
Jackie doesn't even bark anymore. Right. So there's
okay. She did bark one time.
When yeah. she wants something, she gets right here and just stands there. Right in your face. Just stands there.
Well, but I think that's about it for me. What about you?
Nothing else fun and cool this.
No, no. I don't
that's
know.
That's not true.
Was,
oh.
But anyways, we can do Asher first.
Oh.
There's a big one for Asher.
Really?
Yeah. Because Asher went to kindergarten this year.
Oh. That's
for
right.
The very first time.
Right. Hopefully the only time.
Right. That's right. We don't need a repeat performance on kindergarten.
And lost teeth and teeth and teeth.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He has no front teeth right no. now.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, I actually went to kindergarten twice, Asher. Great grandma actually taught me kindergarten 1 year.
Oh.
And then my birthday fell too late. And so then I had to go take kindergarten a second time.
I bet that was boring.
It was pretty boring. I was sick 1 week and then I came back in and they were all like, let's show Philip what we learned yesterday. You know, they spelled red up on the board and I'm looking at it like, yeah, I got that. I had that like months ago. I got red, right. So
speaking of reading though, Asher has been doing a really nice
job.
Oh,
he is making good progress.
He was reading us the Bible the other day.
Oh, right.
He did a great job. I was very impressed.
You learned a new way of cooking this year.
That's true.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I've started sous-vide-ing.
Yes.
What is that?
It is to cook with water. Sous-vide in French. So it's just a method where you vacuum seal the food. You cook it at a certain very specific temperature, and so primarily with meats, and then you just sear the outside of it.
So with your? You sear it with your?
Sous vide. Oh,
no.
With the Searsol.
Searsol, the blowtorch.
Oh, really?
That's right, it's a manly thing.
Nice.
By next year.
I'll never look at you the same.
You're gonna have the big one?
I know, because it's such a. Such a game-changing thing for me. So
well, that and
that's pretty
you
cool.
Started using the pressure cooker this year, too. That was this year. So
I've
lots of cooking.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Cooking.
Yes.
What about Elizabeth?
Also, my beloved husband
huh?
bought us tickets to Finding Neverland and
oh.
The Lion King, which were both spectacular.
Wow.
Yeah, cool.
They were Broadway productions that came through. And
great.
So I got to stay with Grandma.
Yeah,
sure. And we got to stay.
So that's not like the Leaving Neverland movie.
No, it's fine. It's the play about the writing of the play Peter Pan.
Oh, okay. Cool.
This one's Leaving Neverland.
That's the one where the young boys who knew
oh.
Michael
oh, yeah,
Jackson
yeah, yeah.
are actually
no, they haven't made that a
discussing.
Broadway play.
Oh, really?
Yes,
oh.
discussing the things that actually went on, supposedly.
Oh, okay, that's very different.
So what about you, Liz?
That's
what have you done?
That's it.
That's all. Oh, come on. I came up with more than that. Well,
other
you
people
came up
with
more.
Yeah.
All right, your turn.
So your turn to interview her.
Oh.
I got a new boss.
Oh,
ah,
there you go.
Yes, she
I
did.
Now work for someone in New York.
Oh, wow.
So...
How's that going?
It's fine. But it's my first female boss. Also.
Oh, okay.
So that's interesting.
That's
she's real nice.
Yeah.
So I got to meet her in person.
So what does she think about your kind of part-timey, remoting in situation?
Well,
you problem?
Got your first review the other day.
Yeah. So
last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what'd she say?
She said, well, they're supposed to cover some areas of improvement.
Okay.
And her area of improvement for me was to come full-time.
Oh. You know, it's like I've been saying, shortage of quality workmanship in the world.
She's real nice. She's real nice. So, you know, I think anytime you get a new boss, you're adjusting to a new personality.
Sure.
New
sure.
way of seeing things.
Sure.
And, but, you know, you just try to be flexible.
That's it. That's it. And you have enough skills that, you know, you can adapt. So, and you had a very exciting health.
Oh, yeah.
Couple
yeah.
of months there.
Yeah. It's Merry Christmas!
That's right.
Here's pneumonia.
Here's
so.
Asher had pneumonia too.
Yeah.
He had some crackling. Well, he actually had, I got a call from the school nurse concerned because she was hearing some crackling as well.
Uh-huh.
And so we took him into the doctor on a Thursday, and I think that was middle of December sometime. So she wasn't too concerned. She put him on some antibiotics, but it wasn't. No x-ray or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But little crackle and put him on some antibiotics. And I don't think we even did breathing treatment or anything. I think it was just an oral antibiotic.
Got new glasses.
That's right. Cute glasses.
Mm-hmm. So we had an interesting Christmas.
Mommy got new glasses.
Liz was sick. Yeah. I just had surgery.
Right.
Water surgery.
Right. It was going to be a little sparser than we thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And then at the last minute, you could kind of rallied enough that had another family come over. Two families came over. So it was fun. It was a good Christmas. Yeah, it was.
Made a big bonfire.
Yeah, that's right.
But we also...
Yes.
Except then it burned the grass and I needed to get
fire extinguisher.
Yeah, fire extinguisher.
Yeah. You know, but it didn't
get... That was even better.
It but we like had fireworks. One less person with us this Christmas, too.
Yep. My dad passed on. So... And passed on peacefully. Mm-hmm. So he'd been wanting to go since Mom died. And so, you know what? It just was good. Mm-hmm. I mean, the assistant who talked to me said, yeah, she said, I came in and got him up and got him dressed, got him in his chair. She said, I walked out, walked back in. It's gone. So, boom.
Wow.
He had been happy. He was getting, it was sliding. He was having more of those little mini strokes. So it was time. It was just...
95.
Really time, yeah. Mm-hmm. Going on 96. Almost made it to 96, mm-hmm. 2 months out. Of course, when I moved Pop in, at one point he had told me, yeah, I'm 95, which means next year I'm going to be 100. I said, no, Pop, you've got a few more years. What? You got a few more years in there, Pop. What? I said, it's 95, 96, 97, 98, 99, and then...
That's so, probably why he went.
That's right. It's like, it's too much trouble to wait that long. Yeah. So, yeah. And I'm since last time we talked, I was working on book 8. I'm currently working on book 10 of the 24 book series. So I'm in the double digits.
Whoop, whoop.
Boom. And I'm in the 60s. Gonna turn 60 this year. Boom. And brownie points coming. We celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary as well.
Boom.
That's right. That's what I was actually talking about, not about you laying on your back. So I wasn't going to bring that up.
That's how I celebrate our anniversary.
Back in the fair. Up to that point, it was a very lovely little trip.
That was our last night in Vegas, too.
Yeah, some little tidbits in case you all don't know. If you're ever in a casino and you need emergency medical service, do not expect it to arrive in under 30 minutes. Because first of all, they have to get down to the strip, and then they have to go to the security office in the casino, and then the security office has to be available to escort them over to you.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And if you happen to be in the bathroom...
The security service can't be notified beforehand to meet them?
You know, I don't know. That just seems to be the way it works. Of course, the first question I got was, okay, where are you? I just came in the door. I have no idea where I am in the Paris casino. The other thing that was really funny about that was that Annette had gone in to use the restroom. She was feeling well enough. She felt like she needed to use the restroom. So she goes into the women's restroom. And then they all come bustling up to me. And I said, well, she went into the restroom. So they just head into the restroom. I mean, they're right into the restroom. And all these women start going pouring out. I mean, they're all just like scrambling out. Lynette Farron.
I'll be out in a minute. No, ma'am, we need to know which stall you're in.
Oh, man. It was like the Exodus. They were pouring out of there, bewildered. That was funny. So that was fun. I actually achieved a physical goal this year. I've been doing yoga for a while now. I'm still working on crow. I don't have crow yet. That's the one where you put your hands down on the floor and then you prop your knees on your elbows and then you rock forward. So you're, I don't have that one yet. And I don't have one of the other ones that I've been working on. But I am to the point now where I can sit down, knees on the floor, with my feet bent back. And then I can bend all the way back down and put my head on the floor.
Wow.
Put my shoulder blades on the floor. So yeah, I've loosened things up. So the plan is to just keep twisting and turning and using muscles and tendons in weird ways. And that way, if I fall, you know, that theoretically my body will be used to twisting that way and something just won't snap because I have turned 60 this year. So I think that's all the news.
I want to think of the way that you would specifically fall on your knees and then back.
Yeah. Well, what it does do, and some people say it's horrible for your knees, and I haven't had any troubles yet, that you do not want to hyperextend those ligaments and things in your knees, and that it hyperextends those ligaments. But we just had a guy in the church fell over sideways and actually ripped that tendon right off his knee.
Oh.
Yeah, so he had to go in and they had to do surgery because you got to dig it out of there because it recoils up into your thigh.
Yeah.
So you have to dig it out of there, get it reattached, or it'll just atrophy and you'll never have use of the knee. Yeah, that was pretty exciting for him. So I've been praying for him and the Lord.
Wow.
Yeah, keep doing the thing. So, but the other big exciting news that I'm looking forward to this year is we're paying off the mortgage on the church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Don't want to pay every
good things. So, yeah. So, anyway, so that's kind of our year. We kind of target at 20 minutes, and it's 21 minutes. Anybody else have any final closing?
Well, there? I would just note that we did not go together to see a Star Wars movie
that is
this
true.
Last year.
That is true.
Even though we said that's something we were going to be doing.
Yes. Yes.
How many
I think
of
there
them
was even
came
a Star
out?
Wars movie that came out.
There was, but I think the experience of going to see the off-story Rogue One was diminished enough that at least in my mind, I thought, well, let's just go to the ones that are, what do they call those? The canon? No, what do they call the ones that are in the actual, the mainline movies?
Yeah.
But there's supposed to be one of those this year. So we'll,
oh, is there?
Yeah, so it's, what, episode 9,
I don't know.
I think. Yeah, I think this is episode 9, because we saw episode 7.
Right. Which was basically just episode...
Right, 4. Rehashed.
Yeah.
And then we, of course, saw episode 8, which was Luke Skywalker on the dark side
milking
a beast.
Thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like the most memorable thing in the movie. Don't even know if you remember, there was that big cow thing. And
oh.
He was, yeah, that was like, it was bad. That was just bad.
It was also kind of more and more movies think that, or writers seem to think that one of the major themes for stories should be oppression or throwing off oppression and, you know, the corporation, getting rid of the corporation. So that was a big theme in that Star Wars.
Well, and that also that any hero has to be brought down. There's a real anti-hero move. I mean, there's a new series coming up with Picard in it. But Jean-Luc Picard, Patrick Stewart, you know, was all excited about it, and they got in a bunch. But when you actually read some of the character bios and stuff, all of a sudden, apparently, he's off with some renegade group, and his life has substantially changed. So again, it's kind of...
It kind of undermines...
Yeah, it's definitely not... It's definitely not the Star Trek thing, you know. And Star Trek Discovery certainly made a lot of people upset because it wasn't the Star Trek thing. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was pretty good. I watched, you know, the first two seasons. But there's definitely a move away that corresponds to the general, you know, kind of angst. And
so we skipped. I still have not even seen Solo.
Oh,
yet.
Mom
we
and I watched
Solo.
It.
I think it's on Netflix.
Yeah. Okay. Mom and I watched it. It was okay.
It was okay.
Yeah, it was okay.
I mean, it wasn't, you know, wasn't great. It didn't really work like the original movies. Yeah. The original movies were just very boisterous and fun, and you know, I mean, five wasn't The Empire Strikes Back, but then you know you got back to it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But you know.
So I read this week that Wesley Crusher, Will Wheaton,
yeah,
is now the age that Patrick Stewart was when Star Trek premiered. TNG.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was just thinking the other day because several years back, I had some people on the Knit Central website that were complaining about the fact that I wasn't around more on the discussion boards. You know? And
there are people still out there discussing.
Yeah. Okay. They're still out there discussing, which is fine. I just keep paying them. I've got moderators and that kind of stuff. At the time, I wrote them a note and I said, okay, we need to put this in a little perspective. Okay, the last book came out in 1993. I said, guys, that was 15 years ago at that time.
Yeah.
That was 15 years ago.
Yeah, I'm doing.
Wait, no, the last book came out in 97. You know, I got a few other things. I was working on the Star Wars Guide, which was, that book never made it to light, in 1998, which means, you know, that was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just incredible. 21 years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were just working on a piece of code today that was like 2010. Mm-hmm. You know, almost a decade ago. It's really amazing how time flies. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing that would be interesting to note about this last year is the acceleration that we have had in tribalism, mm-hmm, and in the acceleration that we have had in vitriol and in the attempt not to reason together and not to discuss differences, but to simply attack in the most vicious way possible, mm-hmm, to destroy. I was just listening, coming out here, to the lawyer who's representing the Covington kids. And it's really interesting. He was telling about how he discovered, and if you're listening to this in 100 years, just the real quick recap was, there's a college, or not a college, there was a school called Covington Catholic. They had sent some kids to a March for Life rally in Washington, D.C. The kids had picked up some MAGA hats. They just happened to be down on the mall. There was a group called the Black Israelites that were hurling invectives and slurs and everything else at these kids. The kids were just kind of standing around. At the same time, there was a Native American ceremony going on where the Native Americans were trying to come over to the Black Israelites and say, hey, can you tone it down a little bit? You know, we're trying to have a peace ceremony here. Eventually, one of the elderly Native Americans came over to the Covington kids, and they thought he was approaching, you know, just to help them out for a minute, but he wanted to beat his drum there. There was a picture taken, and on the basis of that picture and a truncated video, everyone on the left concluded that these young white teenage boys in MAGA hats were insulting and making fun of the African American gentleman. Native American gentleman, sorry. And on the basis of that, the Twitter sphere exploded. And there were mainline reporters, like for the New York Times, that just came out and eviscerated these kids. And there were comedians like Kathy Griffin that came out and said, these kids need to be docked. And there were people that came out and said, oh, you know.
They need to be what?
Doxed. Where what they do is they release their public private information so that people can go to their houses and know their phone calls.
How old are these
and call
kids?
These kids are just teenagers, 16, 15,
what kind
15,
of hat
16.
Is it they were wearing?
Oh, MAGA, Make America Great. It's the red Trump supporter hat.
Oh, okay.
That says Make America Great.
So all they were doing was just
standing
They were basically standing there. They did a bus. Yeah, they were waiting for a bus to come. So,
being yelled at.
And being yelled at, yeah. And they did some of their own school cheers.
So they did this all off of assumption, is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
They took a snapshot.
Right.
And then decided
happening. Literally, main media, movie stars, everybody descended like a mob on these kids. And, you know, we're saying how these kids need to be beat up. And I mean, it got really, really bad.
Wow.
And then people started saying, wait a minute, wait a minute. And another video surfaces of the entire 2 hours that led up to that moment. And basically what it showed is these kids are just standing around waiting for their bus to come. And the Black Israelites group, who apparently are well known in New York, stand around on street corners and holler and shout at people and curse. And I mean,
Black Hebrews.
You know, they were trying to incite everything, and they were trying to incite the Native Americans against this Covington group, and the Covington group was just kind of standing there. And so then they didn't know quite what to do, so they did some of their own school chants, and, you know, so once that all came out, and kind of showed that these kids, they weren't doing anything that was attributed to them. Then some of the outlets started backing up. And they said, well, you know, okay, so there might be other ways to view this. I mean, they were all kind of milquetoasty about how they did it. And a civil rights lawyer saw all of it. And he said, when I first saw it come up on Twitter and on the feeds, he was actually on vacation, and he said the story was that a group of young white teenagers harassed a Native American elder during a ceremony. And he said, I thought to myself at that time, that doesn't sound right for Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Why would that happen? Catholic kids are doing that? He said, that just didn't seem right to me. And he said, then as more and more and more stuff came about, he said, then I tweeted out, and I said, so, anybody need representation here? Because I will represent you. And then he got on Fox, and he said, yeah, I volunteer. Anybody, any of these families who want to bring a suit against all these people who defamed their name and libeled them,
let me know. And called for people to harass them.
Yeah, called for physical violence.
Yeah.
Called for physical violence. Let me know. He said, now, for all of you out there who did misjudge this situation and mischaracterize it, he said, you've got 48 hours. He said, we want one of three things. Either delete all your tweets, or issue a clarification, or apologize. He said, if you take care of it, that's really all the families want. They just want this cleaned up, because you all have assassinated these kids' characters. And if you don't underaged kids, if you do not do it, he said, then we're going to come after you. So they've got a big top five now. One of them, as I understand, is one of the main reporters on politics for the New York Times. She did not rescind. There was a couple of other reporters that did not rescind. Elizabeth Warren did not rescind.
CNN, they're going after CNN.
Yeah, and so they're bringing a class action lawsuit. They're actually representing 14 of the families, and they're going to bring a class action lawsuit against them for, but I mean, and so this, for me, this 2018 was kind of a real turning point there.
This year was the Supreme Court thing.
Yes, with Kavanaugh, yes.
Kavanaugh. Yeah, that was this year too.
And that was also a very, very interesting thing, that the repercussions of that are still going out. I was just listening to a YouTube video yesterday that were saying that guys now are pausing their dates to pull out their cell phones and point it at their dates and say, okay, could you consent on camera to the fact that you do want to spend time with me? Because, you know, they're just saying with this whole Me Too movement, well, and yeah, that they don't want to get into a situation where there seemed to be consent and everything was fine, but then after the date's over, it was
clear.
Like, it wasn't clear, and I didn't actually want to do it, and, you know, so it's really interesting. Well, this is just we're in wholly uncharted waters here. It's just going to be fascinating to see how
this election's out. Coming up.
Yeah.
Next year now.
Right.
Well, let's not start talking about that next year.
Yeah. And then, of course, this was the year that the far left actually were able to get elected. And the alt-left were able to get elected. Young representatives who
what
have
is
just
that?
Been...
What is her name? That
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Is that who you're looking for? Or are you looking for Ilhan Omar? Ilhan Omar?
No, I think Ilhan, the first one that...
Yeah, the New Green Deal. That they put up the FAQ on the New Green Deal on the site, and then they took it back down. Well, that was just a rough draft.
Oh, really?
Okay, sure. we need to do more railways and just ground all planes because they pollute too much and we can't use batteries with them. I mean, that was actually in there. We're going to encourage high-speed rail so that we don't have to use airplanes. Right. How are people going to get to Hawaii? You know? I mean, it's just, I mean, you know, there was just a bunch of that stuff in there that she's just like, what? We're going to retrofit every building in America to use renewables in 10 years.
Okay.
Right. Okay. In 10 years, we're going to be 100% renewable energy. Yeah, that one won't work. You can't do it. Can't, it's not possible. You can't make enough renewable energy for it. You know, so yeah, it's just, it's. I haven't said this publicly yet. Oh, and that, because no one listens to these, so it doesn't matter. No, I don't think I've said this on the podcast yet. And that we are going to provide a livable existence for everyone. Doesn't matter whether they want to work or not. We just need to pay people because, you know, they have to live. And so and we're going to cover everybody's health care, Medicare for all. We're just going to cover everybody.
Then why will anyone want to work?
No, yeah. Why would anyone want
to work? I don't know. You know, the basic income is interesting because several countries have tried. Yeah. Now, Finland just finished up an experiment on basic income, where for 2 years they just gave people money. Yeah. And then they finally got to the place that we're done, click. And the people that were giving, they were like, hey. I got this letter in the mail and now they're not going to give me any more money. You know, yeah. I mean, it's like, oh, yeah.
But these people have mostly been sitting on their rear ends.
Well, no, some have been trying to get, but they've had like part-time jobs because they didn't have to, you know, because they had the extra money and because it's, you know, so yeah. So, I mean, you got this new Green Deal thing that they floated and it's, and all of the Democratic presidential candidates endorsed it. Every single one of them.
Because now the big movement's going to be the people who don't want to work, have like they're going to have a platform.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So well, it's
yeah.
It's just going to be really interesting to see what this election is going to turn out. It's going to be really, really fascinating.
I say I wouldn't want to work, but man, I don't think I'd like it. I would be depressed. I think.
Just sitting around.
You gotta have something to do.
Like I think you'd run out of stuff to do. I mean.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's this coming year and the next few years is just going to be really, really fascinating. But God's been good this year to us. It's been wonderful. He's helped us day by day. There was something else I was going to say about that, and it just flitted out of my brain. Oh, I know. I haven't actually said this out loud, but I'm going to say it now. Her name is abbreviated AOC. When they talk about AOC, that's Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. So when I heard about the new Green Deal, I thought to myself, you know, I'm absolutely certain that this did not happen, but before she had the job in Congress, she was a bartender. She's 29, she's a bartender. And I'm sure in her experience, there have been a lot of people that have wanted to give her money or give her gifts and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm absolutely certain she has never worked as a sugar baby, but, you know, sugar babies, that's their whole thing. You know, I'm pretty, look at me, give me money. And people do. And sugar babies look for sugar daddies. And when I read the new Green Deal, all I could think was, well, this is sugar daddy politics is what this is. Everyone's just kind of sitting around going, I'm pretty, give me money. You know, I mean, because that's really the flavor of it. Someone is just going to take care of me because I'm just so fun and I'm such a great person, you know? And I suppose we can do that. You know, it hasn't worked out really well for other socialist countries like Venezuela. You know?
Oh, I can't remember and I don't, yeah. Yeah, equal opportunity desperation is really socialism ends up being.
Yeah. Well, yeah, what they said is capitalism gives equal opportunity for everyone to succeed, and socialism gives equal opportunity for everyone to suffer.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the difference between the two. So, anyways, so I'm sure if we were important people and we started calling the new Green Deal sugar daddy politics, I'm sure we would get into a lot of trouble.
Probably.
But since we aren't important people, it really doesn't matter. But someone may dig this up in 20 years and come after, or 30 years and come after Clara for having a grandfather that would say such a thing. you know, and she will be excised from politics for all time and will not be able to be president of the United States. I didn't know if that was a goal.
She looked really concerned, and then you said that, and she was like,
what?
Do you want to be a senator? Or a congressperson?
You could be the youngest congressperson ever elected. Congressperson. Conga-line person. You could be the youngest congresswoman ever elected. We'll work on that for when you're 10 in 2020. So we'll see if we can get you elected to Congress.
She'd come up with better policies. Yeah.
They have dog mayors. I mean,
that, yeah. So yeah. Why not?
Not that Claire is comparable.
Okay, so this is, oh man, we're at 40 minutes. Okay, for those of you who haven't left us by this point, which I'm sure you have, but Alan, this is one that you don't have to listen to since you were here. So
I'll keep that in mind.
40 minutes.
Oh yeah, 40 minutes. So anyway, sorry, we got away from ourselves here a little bit. This is 40 minutes worth of 10 years worth of podcast. This is Phil Fair, and I haven't made it home, but I will be home shortly. Say goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Until next year.